And good morning and welcome to Your Life Matters.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Steve. Now, you know, the internet can be a truly amazing place. I mean, just think about the fact that you're listening to this show today on the internet. It's a product of modern technology. Now, everybody wants that new iPhone or the latest computer gadget that connects to the internet. You can update, you can read your Facebook page with it. You can tweet to all your followers. You can take or send videos or photos. You can stay in constant contact with your BFFs. Okay, so if you're like me, you're saying, all right, I text every once in a while, but I don't see the big deal behind it. I thought that's what email was for. I want my phone to call someone and speak to them. But Jen will tell you that I'm old. Technology is great, but it also brings major problems and new avenues for problems to develop. So if you're like me, you have no clue what they're doing with today's technology. Now think back, we had a problem learning where the keys were to type on a keyboard. Today, with their thumbs, kids knock out text faster than we can think of them. But seriously, here are some of the problems that are developing. Cyberbullying, sexting, textual harassment, sextortion, just to name a few. Now, if you're confused like me, don't feel bad. As a parent, though, you better not be. This is your child we're speaking about, and you better learn and learn quick. And the book we're going to be discussing today, actually, we're going to be talking about two books, and they're meant to do just that. The books are, the first one's called Read Between the Lines, and the other book is called The Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media, Understanding the Benefits and Dangers of Parenting in a Digital World. Now, our guest today is America's leading textpert and cyberbullying prevention expert. And I'm going to let her tell more about herself, but it's our honor to welcome to Your Life Matters, Sean Marie Edgington. Sean, thank you for joining us today on Your Life Matters.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, it's amazing because while I was reading that, I was like, there are so many new words that we have to learn today, and they just don't roll off my tongue anymore. And I guess that's really going to be important because as parents, we're going to need to know what those words mean. But before we go into the books itself, tell our listeners a little something about your background.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So what I'm really, really about is showing parents how to empower their kids to defend against the sexting, the textual harassment, the online predators, the cyber bullies, you know, all those things that are every parent's worst nightmare. And really what got me started in this chapter of my life is a few years ago when my 16-year-old daughter came home in tears because she had been accused of doing something that she didn't do. By, in the very beginning, about 20 kids in high, you know, she was 16, she was in high school, first day of school. What ended up happening is it went on for about 3 months, but really between these three girls that were expelled because of what had happened that day, basically 30 kids came to school completely wasted, and they all got caught by the campus police, and they got either suspended or expelled. Well, they accused her of reporting everybody to the principal. And which she absolutely never did. It's just the principal called in the ASB officers, which my daughter was, to come in and you know, go over what had happened because one of the ASB principals was one of the kids that came drunk to school. So when they saw these kids going to the principal's office and you know, spending hours and hours in there, they just assumed that, you know, hey, they're the reason why they got caught. Wasn't the case, but what happened was is these It was very bad. It was hundreds of text messages a day with threatening, we're going to find you, we're going to get you, we're going to destroy your car, we're going to, you know, 24 hours a day, late at night. It went up to Facebook really rapidly, and then my daughter really ended up turning into a different kid. She was 16 at the time, and she did tell us about it, which is one thing I want to, you know, be sure parents understand is most kids don't tell their parents what's going on until it's too late or until something bad has happened, and then it's too late. So she did tell us the first day what had happened, and she had definitely said what was going on, you know, texting, and however, she did not say what was going on Facebook. I did not know that. So I was a clueless parent regarding monitoring or checking in on Facebook to make sure everything was okay and, you know, appropriately, you know, everything was appropriate online, and it wasn't. this went on for 3 months, and it kind of came to a head because these three girls that were expelled from school found her. Well, they went and hunted her down one night, and they surrounded her just to completely, you know, kick her butt or whatever they were planning on doing. They were beating her up. One girl was really known for getting in fights with girls. So, but luckily, there was these older boys there. They were like 30, 31 years old, and they stopped it from happening. They saved her. They called the police. And, you know, everything stopped right then. So we, you know, we got lucky. Nothing happened. She probably would have survived, but I'm here to say that even today my daughter's not the same girl she was. She was a straight-A student. She still is, but she, you know, then she's a straight-A student. She was very social. She was a cheerleader. She was, you know, ASB officer of the whole school. And now she's very particular about who she socializes with, where she spends her time. You know, she at that point she was depressed. She closed off. She was in her room. She turned into a different person. So and as a parent, I mean, I'm the CEO of a national insurance firm. So what I do for my business clients is I manage risk and prevent loss. That's what we do for a living, you know. Mm-hmm. And I could not prevent my daughter from being harassed, and I couldn't manage her risk. It was out of my control, and it was so frustrating because in a way that's what I do, and no matter what I did, anything I came up with how to solve it, whether it was going to administration, that wouldn't help me because the kids were kicked out of school. The parents didn't care what their kids were doing. They were two of the three were divorced parents, and they had no control over what was going on. I mean, it was really kind of the planets aligned where there was my hands were tied. And so had I known what I know now, because which is the reason why I wrote this second book, The Parent's Guide, was because there are such simple things I could have done, and I didn't do them, and it really would have stopped everything from moving forward like it did. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal, is to get every parent really knowing the simple things they can do, how they can be really defensive, you know, parents, and know what's going on and stop things before it gets too crazy.
Well, luckily, I mean, it didn't, you know, that those boys were there. Otherwise, yep, we probably would be reading about this nationally. I mean, instead of in one of your books.
You know, right, maybe that would have happened, maybe not. Maybe she just would have gotten beaten up really bad. You know, I don't know, and I'm just thankful I don't get to know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, emotionally, though, it's so tough on teenagers to go through this, because when you're getting accused of doing something that you didn't do in front of, let's say, thousands of people on a social network platform, it's devastating for them. They just... They don't have that maturity and that wherewithal to be like most of us adults, where we can say, you know what, I didn't do that, I don't care what you say about me, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Where even though I have to say that, even hurts when someone does accuse, you know, I'm, you know, 45 years old, and that it hurts me when I get accused of something I didn't do, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, that much more amplified for a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the thing with social networking and text messaging. Everything we do, everything we, you know, that kids do now is like you said, amplified. Mm-hmm. And it's on a stage for everyone to see, and it's out there, and then it's a permanent record, really, is, you know, basically inked to the internet. Whereas when we were kids, thank the Lord that we, you know, not everything was recorded and, you know, put on a, basically almost like a diary, but it's almost like it's a public diary for everyone to see. And
well, it took weeks to get around the schoolyard when we were growing up. I mean, today you just put it out on Facebook or something, and kids know about it in like 12 minutes right after it happened.
Oh, yeah, or seconds. Right,
yeah. I mean,
it's and you know, the problem, I think, is really like I was, for me, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what resources I could use. I was really kind of clueless. And so, you know, and that's how I think a lot of parents feel, is that maybe they're not on Facebook, or maybe they don't text message, and they're just a little behind it. The kids are so advanced, and things change so rapidly, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like this, my new book, is that's its mission, is to just kind of level the playing field, if nothing else.
Well, I want to start with the book, The Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media, because I think this goes right along the same lines what we're talking about. I know in the book you start with the story of Tina Meyer and her daughter Megan. Now, the names might sound vaguely familiar to some of our listeners, but briefly, can you tell us a little of Megan's story?
Yeah, I sure can. So, Megan Meyer was a young 13-year-old girl who, you know, begged her mother for a MySpace account. Tina Meyer is a mother who did everything right back then when this occurred, when parents really didn't know what to do, and this woman did everything right. And what I mean by right is that she said, okay, Megan, you can have a MySpace account, but only under these conditions. If you you're not going to have the username and password I log on and offer you. You're going to only access your MySpace account in the kitchen, you know, where I can see what's going on. So Megan wasn't happy about that, but she agreed to those circumstances. Otherwise, she wasn't going to get her MySpace account.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, in a nutshell, what happened is a woman, 47 years old, four doors down from the Myers, set up a MySpace account impersonating a cute little 14-year-old boy that supposedly went to a different school, had a cute little photograph there on the profile, and friended Megan by MySpace, pretending to be someone who was interested in Megan. Megan asked her mom for permission to accept him as a friend, or whatever they call it on MySpace. I'm not a MySpace expert. And so Tina reluctantly agreed, and she said, okay, but, you know, under these circumstances, I'm gonna watch what you're writing. And, you know, I mean, really, she did everything right. I mean, I didn't do it what she did. And so, long story short, 5 weeks went along, and they had a relationship online, back and forth chatting, and Megan was really smitten over this boy, supposedly, and it came to time for her 14th birthday party, and she asked her mom if she could invite him. And her mom said, sure, you can invite him, and so she invited him, and next thing you know, the boy responded back saying, I would never go to your party, I hate your guts, and, you know, awful, awful, awful things, you're this, you're that. And you know, Megan was completely, she was beside herself. She had no idea why all of a sudden he would go from being so sweet and nice and, you know, telling her everything she wanted to hear, how cute she was and, you know, beautiful eyes and all those great things that we want to hear as women and girls. And all of a sudden everything turned. Well, Tina was leaving to go run an errand, and her daughter was, you know, completely going nuts over what was being said on MySpace from this boy, and it started to kind of balloon up, you know, like we were talking about earlier, amplify with other people kind of getting involved in conversation saying, yeah, I hate you, and, you know, it was really just starting to go around now with a lot of her friends, too. And so Tina said, sign off right now, I got to leave, and anyways, long story short, she didn't sign off. Tina left, she came back home, and there Megan was at the computer just sobbing. She was just really, really, really upset. And, you know, Tina was like, Megan, you know, why didn't you sign off? You know, this is crazy. And she said, Mom, everyone's talking about me now, and they all hate me, and no one's coming to my party, and, you know, and this boy hates me now, and what am I going to do? And kind of like my life's over kind of thing. And she said, you know, Megan, you should have just signed off. This would have never happened. And so anyways, Megan ran upstairs all upset, and 20 minutes later, Tina walked up because she had just a really bad feeling in her gut, and there she found her daughter hanging. And it's an awful, awful story, especially when she went, you know, it was about 3 weeks or so. They couldn't figure out really what pushed her to that point. It didn't all add up, and one of the neighbors called her and said, hey, can you come over? I've got some information about your daughter. And long story short, the neighbor told her that it was the other neighbor down the street that set up this fake MySpace account.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the help of one of her employees, who was 18 years old, who helped. And she put a fake picture up, fake profile, fake everything, and basically intentionally abused this girl online.
Wow.
To the point that she killed herself.
That's just so wrong in so many aspects. But you see, I know the last time we spoke about this story, I'm almost sure I said the same thing, is that, you know, many parents are sitting there saying, well, that's just an extreme case. You know, that girl just took it differently. No, it's not. I mean, your kids, if they're using technology such as the internet, cell phones, and, you know, everything else, any kind of social media that's out there right now, is going to be that affected by everything that's taking place if you're not keeping an eye on it.
Right, Steve, you're absolutely right, because, you know, the reality is again, they're young, they're often not mature enough to handle the things that are happening and being said online. And however, you know, we expect them to act like they're 21 or 25 or 35 years old, and they're just not. They're probably not ready for this degree of stuff that occurs online. But, you know, there was just a case that just occurred, this week, I believe, where the 17-year-old girl friended supposedly a 17-year-old cute boy that she didn't know. He talked her into meeting him, and he raped her and killed her. And he was, and so this does happen. And parents need to, you know, here's what I I get on my soapbox and I say, look, we all talk to our kids about drinking, drugs, sex, right? Add technology into it. It's just, there's just as much risk with technology, maybe even more so.
With all the bullying and everything else going on, not only just in the schools, just them in the classroom or whatever, but also with technology, how do we know when to begin to watch and monitor what's going on, and what is the first things we should be doing?
Well, first of all, the biggest mistake is that parents usually let their kids have a Facebook account before they're ready. And Facebook has a requirement of 13 years old or older. So if you've got a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, they do not belong on Facebook, mm-hmm. First of all, number one. So that right there, you know, you've made your first big mistake. Because I get more and more emails from parents who say they found out their 9-year-old had a Facebook account. They had no idea that they had it, 10-year-old, whatever. But what happens with these young kids is they put their street address down, their phone number down. They put everything down that it asks you for because they don't put their accounts on private. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just don't know any better.
And I'm going to go even a step further, too. Sometimes you really have to delve to find out where that information can be hidden. As well, yep. Because Facebook, especially with their changes that they make all the time, all of a sudden, your information becomes public.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to be careful with Facebook, because a lot of their third-party, you know, like all their games, like mm-hmm. Farmville and all that stuff, those are all third-party vendors, and they don't have the same privacy agreements that Facebook has with their account holders. So the very first thing is that obey the age limitation of 13. You know, I personally did not, my daughter asked for an account at 15, and that was right when a girl had been abducted just recently, about 6 months before that, here in California, as a result of Facebook. And so she waited a while to ask for it, you know, because of this had happened, and then she finally was like, you know, Mom, and Dad, I can do it. So, you know, we gave her all the restrictions and requirements, and we let her do it. And she ended up taking it down, like, within 6 months, because she just didn't feel comfortable with everything that was going on. It was just too much drama.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm getting to is if you want to give your kid a Facebook account when they're 13, then it comes with a quid pro quo of, fine, I will have your username and password, because I'm going to be monitoring what you post and what is said online, because your Facebook now is like a resume. And you have to protect your child's image and their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
What gets posted up there is pretty permanent. It's pretty hard to get. It's pretty hard to delete 100%. Almost, it's about impossible, because once it's posted, it can move on to other people's Facebook accounts, and you can't delete what's on theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, information gets transferred really rapidly, especially if it's a photo or a video. So there, you know, you absolutely have to be monitoring that, and you've got to be monitoring what's on your kid's cell phone as far as photographs, because that's where they all originate from, usually from a webcam or from a cell phone that has the ability, which almost all of them do now, to take a video and take a picture.
And upload it right to Facebook on top of that, too.
Immediately, right. And so mm-hmm. what I say is, you know, start it out. I mean, the perfect scenario is you have a 13-year-old, they want a Facebook account, you feel like they're mature enough, they've earned the right to have one, you let them have it, you you know, you set up a contract with them with all the rules and regulations of things they can and can't do on social networking sites, including bullying others and gossiping and, you know, posting the wrong stuff. And you go through all those things with them. You sit them down. They sign it. You sign it. And you have consequences if they break the rules. Mm-hmm. You check into their account once a day, once every other day, whatever you feel like doing. But you've got to check in to see how it's looking up there. And, you know, it shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes to do it. If you're kind of, you know, do not comment, do not say anything. All you're doing is looking. Mm-hmm. And if anything needs to be removed, you just have your child remove it immediately. You know, and then, so that's like the perfect world, because when they're 13, you have control over, yeah, you can have it, but it's going to have, this is what's going to need to happen. You know, when you have a 16 or a 17-year-old and they've been on Facebook for a couple years and you say, hey, I need your username and password, that's kind of a hard...
Good luck.
That's a hard pill to swallow, for them to swallow. And it's going to be a battle. And you need to do it, but the biggest battle is right around that 16, 17-year-old. But you hope that when they get to that point that they've really learned a lot and they matured a lot and they've come a long way if they've been using it. So, you know, like, but I have to say, between like 13 and 16, those are the biggest problem years for this kind of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. But even if they're 16, I mean, you can have your own Facebook page and just say, okay, you know, I don't want your username and password, but you have to friend me.
Yeah, you can.
Right.
The thing is with that, which is one thing I talk about in my book, is that kids are savvy, right? They're technically savvy, and they have ways where they can say, each friend can only see X on my Facebook.
Yes, exactly.
So they can tweak the settings so that, you know, my mom can only see, you know, maybe what I post on my wall. She can't see my pictures, you know. So it's just a matter of, hopefully they're not that savvy as far as limiting your access. But, yes, that's a great way. If that's all you get, do it.
Right. Yeah, that's at least better than nothing. But you now I want to go with the savvy, but before, I think Jim wanted to ask you something.
What about putting their cell phone number up on Facebook?
Oh, my God, never.
Well, you see, now understand something, but you see, Facebook has, and I'm sorry, folks, I'm not picking on Facebook. I think Facebook is a great place. If you're careful, it's a great place. But they require that so that you can upload certain amount of pictures, because they're going to actually sometimes text a number to your phone and stuff that you have to put in there to just to additionally verify your account. But the thing is, you got to go in and change it right after that.
Right, that's fine. Yeah, make it a parent's cell phone if that's required, or forget about MySpace and go to Facebook, because let's face it, you know, Facebook's got 50 million users, so basically under 18, and MySpace has 5 million, so I would say the lion's share is on Facebook anyway.
Right, exactly. Now, I want to go into, as I said in the intro, there's a whole bunch of new terms, and I know that a lot of people that were listening that heard some of the stuff I said in the beginning were probably saying, huh? So let's go through a couple of the terms if we can. Here's a new one even for me. What is textual harassment?
So that is when someone is intentionally harassed, threatened, or bullied by text message. And typically the definition requires more than once, and it must be intentional. So it's really, it's you know, it's your cyberbully. It's your, but it's by text message. So it's all by mobile message, and it's someone who is repeatedly threatening you, like what happened to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a continuous, ongoing, threatening way to threaten people versus, you know, on the phone or in person.
Now, what are the legal ramifications of that?
So legal ramifications I try not to get into because every state is very different.
Mm-hmm. But there are laws for that.
Well, there are some laws in some states and some laws there's not, and every state is different. I can tell you in California where I am that it only takes one intended text that is harassing or threatening to be considered something that they can that's punishable.
Hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's very different state by state. On my website, I have what's called cyber underneath resources. I have cyberbullying laws, and that sheet right there from my friend who runs the Cyberbullying Research Center. They have it broken down by state, the laws that are currently in existing, what's pending, and so if you want to look at that, it's a great resource tool if you want to see how your state's.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and if there isn't such a law in your state or it's pending, I mean, it's a great time to contact, you know, your congressional leaders for your state and, you know, demand this, that something be done about it, because it's a hot topic. There's no question about that it's a hot topic. But like we were talking about prior to going on the air, it seems to be a hot topic for a couple of weeks, and then it just goes away when the next thing comes around, and people forget all about it, and we don't hear about it again until, unfortunately, something happens to somebody else.
Well, you know, Steve, you just took that thought right out of my mind, because, unfortunately, as it's kind of our nature, right, that we don't really want to write that letter or do anything about anything unless it's affecting us personally either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even some of us might act if we hear about something, but often it's, you know, if it's not that close to home, it's not going to happen to me. Oh, it's not going to happen to my kid. But let me tell you, almost 50% of kids are cyberbullied.
Right.
Almost 50%. So that is a big number. It's a big number, and the reason why parents are saying it's not going to happen to my kid is because they don't realize it's such a big number, and their kids are not telling them what's going on. But if any parent, I dare any parent to ask their child if they know of anyone who's being harassed, being called out, being threatened on Facebook or by text message, they will say, yes, they know somebody.
Mm-hmm. And or, you know, your child could be doing the bullying.
You know, and that's great that you say that, because I was back in New York City, and I met with one of the producers of The View. And she said, you know, in your new book, I was really in the final stages of writing it. This was in October. She said, do you have anything in there about, you know, what if my kid is the bully? She goes, what do you have in there for the parents that have kids that are bullies? And she was halfway teasing because her daughter's 4. she goes, I really think my daughter's kind of a bully. You know, she's 4. I'm like, oh, I'm sure she's not a bully. You know, but it was really cute. So I had some things originally written in my content that talked about the, you know, like kind of how to recognize one and the signs. But what I ended up doing was adding a lot of material about how to discover if your child is a bully. And again, that just goes right back to that monitoring thing. The only way you're going to know is if you're checking their Facebook account out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only way you're going to find out. And you're also, you know, you're going to see the signs. They're pretty evident, and you just can't close your eyes. And you're absolutely right, because if almost half the kids are being bullied, there has to be some bullies out there.
Right, exactly.
Well, if your child is a bully, and someone's telling you this, and you're like, oh, no, that couldn't happen, but then you realize that they are, and you don't do anything about it, what can the other parent do, or what should they do?
Well, you're legally liable, first of all, for anything your child does that lives in your home, especially if they're under 18 years old. You could even be liable for a parent that you're financially dependent, for a child who you're financially dependent, you know, on you. Like, let's say they're away at school and you're paying their tuition. And that gets to the insurance side, because a lot of insurance policies don't cover the anything that's like the libel and slander and defamation of character coverages that are underneath the personal liability. Yuck, I'm getting all insurance-y on you.
No, it's okay. Because you know what? I mean, most parents, and I'm really glad you're saying this. Because,
they need to know.
I mean, most parents don't even think about that.
Right. Exactly. It's really like, you know, your kid gets into an auto accident. They're driving your vehicle, or they're driving their vehicle, let's say, and something really tragic happens, like let's say one of the passengers is killed. Well, you as a parent are legally liable for that accident, even though you weren't driving the vehicle, because it's something that your child did.
Mm-hmm.
They're your child. You're legally responsible. So that's where insurance steps in, and that's where everyone needs to call their broker and say, hey, am I covered or am I not covered if my kid does anything or says anything online to someone else? And something bad happens, and I end up with a lawsuit in my mailbox.
Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time, too.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, that's, you know, it usually ends up going the civil route, especially in the past, because in the past there hasn't been a lot of laws to protect children and families from damages that occur from kids that are abused online, you know, or by text message. And so what happened was is, you know, and still now is that people have to go the civil route and file a lawsuit that way to try and, you know, get damages reimbursed if there are any. You know, it's pretty hard to reimburse a child who's no longer with you right. as far as damages, you know, for that. But, boy, there sure is definitely pain and suffering that goes along with that.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Sue is the American way.
yeah, it is. Well, you know, thanks to all the lawyers we have and everyone out there. It seems to be the path that we tend to take.
Mm-hmm.
What is sextortion?
So sextortion is when typically someone has asked you to – there's a case that just happened, actually. I just got it yesterday, where a gal, 17, a couple gals, they were in a chat room, and one of the kids in the chat room asked for them to flash their top, flash their shirts open.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So these girls did this, okay? So then what happened was, is this kid who was 19 years old, and these girls were 17, he then went back to them out of the chat room and said, look, you know, you did this, here's, and, you know, shows them back the video of them flashing, and says, this is what you've done, this is what I'm going to do if you don't show me more and give me more nastier stuff. And if you don't, I'm going to send this to your parents. I'm going to post it on Facebook. I'm going to post it on MySpace. I'm going to post it on YouTube. I'm going to destroy you, you know, with every person you care about, you know, publicly. And so it's basically extorting someone for more sexually related photos. Or often it's, if you don't meet me for sex or give me what I want sexually, then I, you know, in person, then I'm going to do that as well. So it's a really bad thing, actually, and it's becoming more and more common. I mean, it's not real common, but you're hearing about it more and more now.
See, I know parents have to be sitting there saying, wow, have the rules changed?
I know. Well, yeah, they have. In fact, there's this big case going on right now in Florida and all the eastern colleges down there where this we think it's a man. We're not really sure. We're just assuming, actually, is pretending to be a graduate of a college and was a sorority sister. And so what he's doing, I'm assuming it's a he again, is he is basically approaching every pledge that's pledging for a certain sorority, freshman in college, and saying, look, I'm an alum, I went to the school, I can help you get into the sorority, and, you know, there's a cute picture on the profile, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, conversations get very personal, and then he's asking for personal stuff and then personal pictures, and then it just keeps going from bad to worse. Well, like 12 girls from different colleges all sent in, you know, like partially naked pictures, all this stuff. Well, one girl basically called the campus police finally after it had gone too far, and she just felt like she was really scared because he said he was going to show up on campus and find her. And so they're still looking for this person. They can't find him, but this is sextortion. It's exactly a sextortion
case.
Wow. What are the rules of engagement?
So the rules of engagement is, again, I'm using my contract and insurance experience background, and my employer background is, it's a lot like an employment agreement or kind of a job description, but it has to do with the usage of cell phones and social networking sites. And what it does is it really outlines exactly what your child can do and cannot do in about 20 talking points. And it's all laid out for parents so that they can sit down with their kid, have an educated decision, pretend like they know what FormSpringMe is and and checking in on Facebook places, because it's all covered in the contract and these are all things that your child should never, ever participate in. So it's great because it covers all the things you don't even think about saying. Like, for instance, it talks about sexting and how you're never going to send an inappropriate photo and you're not going to post it. As an example, and you might not even think when you hand your 10-year-old their first cell phone that you even have to talk about it. But guess what? You do.
Yeah.
Because I get emails all the time. I got this one that I haven't gotten one that's worse since, but a father of an 8-year-old girl. The girl came home from school. One of her 8-year-old schoolmates, boy, had asked her for a sext. 8.
Wow.
He's like, I don't even know what that is, you know, because that was his oldest child. And maybe he was living in Utah, actually. So I'm like, I'm not sure. Maybe they don't do sexting in Utah. But
wow.
But that's an example of how it's never too soon to start talking about these things. So the rules of engagement are just a way that it kind of lays out all the rules of how you're going to use this technology that I'm not only providing to you, but I'm also paying for. Usually parents are paying for the internet access, and they're paying for that monthly service and probably the cell phone. And if you don't follow the rules, there's consequences, and here's what they are. There are 4 levels, and those can be changed. And it's a way to kind of – it's a really a way to threaten mm-hmm. as a parent. The only thing that we really have over our children these days now is cell phone use.
Yeah.
They'd rather have their car taken away than their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when they get to be 16. So, you know, you gotta set the rules.
So how do you check their cell phones? I mean, because, you know, they can send messages and delete the messages.
Right. So there's a lot. There's ways. There's programs you can buy, and there's, you know, I'm not a big believer of reading text messages. I'm really more of a believer of if you think your kid is doing the wrong thing by text message, if there's signs, maybe ask to see them occasionally here and there. But if you really think they're doing something wrong, then take it away. You know, I'm very conflicted here. I feel like it's their personal diary, you know, when they're writing. But I also feel like as parents, we need to set boundaries. So, for instance, what I have is I have parental controls for my kids, and I've set the rules. I've set when they can text. You know, I've got the Monday through Friday they can text from 8 in the morning until 10 at night or 11 at night for my daughter. It changes based on their age, and then on the weekends, it's, you know, until, I think, midnight. After that, sorry, it just automatic. I don't want to micromanage it, and I don't want to, you know, say, put your phone here. I want to watch what's going on, so-and-so. And then I've just basically, when my kids were younger, I disallowed the ability to send a photo by text message, which is just turning off the MMS feature. And that really, I recommend that for kids that are under 13 because they do not need to be sending photos because they get themselves into trouble.
Right.
And it's just easier that way, just to turn it off, and they don't need to be sending photos by text message. It's not going to kill them, and they can live without it. They can take a regular picture.
Right. And if you don't know how to do that, just call the phone company, and customer service will walk you through that.
Yeah, they will. They'll just disable that feature for you, mm-hmm. and it doesn't cost anything. Parental Controls does. It's $5 a month, but it is well worth it because that is one of the features, that is the only feature that will allow your child to block a text message, block someone who is sending harassing text messages, mm-hmm. and that is what I should have done for my daughter. I should have called AT&T and said, and again, this is what I didn't know. I did not know that I could block a text message.
Right.
Had I known that, everything wouldn't have escalated to what it did, and it wouldn't have gone on for 3 months.
But you can't really say that because you don't know what they would have taken as the next avenue of venting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. However, I also didn't know about blocking on Facebook.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I would have blocked them there too.
Right.
So, you know, it's and that is the one thing about technology and texting and Facebook is everything is, as you know, instant, and it's just the snap of a finger, but it also gets elevated very quickly. It goes from a match lit into a wildfire that is out of control, and you can't extinguish it at all whatsoever. And so that's what the power of blocking, when we teach our kids how to do that, it's such a powerful thing. They don't have to take someone who's sending them rude messages. They can just block them right there.
Mm-hmm.
What age would you allow a child to have a cell phone?
Oh, God. You know, I think that's just so, every situation is very different. I mean, if I was a single mom and I had my daughter had to wait for me out on the curb after school, and sometimes she's there for 5 or 10 minutes and I'm not there. I mean, there's just, you know what I mean? It just depends. I really don't think I think before 10 is ridiculous, personally, mm-hmm. unless there's a huge exception for that, and there is. And then after that, you know, again,
Well, you know, especially after Columbine, I mean, that's when I noticed that the number of cell phones for kids drastically increased because the parents didn't know if their child was safe.
Well, that is the thing, true. That is so true because the one thing we can be sure of is that our kids are going to have their cell phone on them and we're going to be able to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact if anything happens at any of our kids' schools and we try to call a line in the middle of an emergency, we are not going to get any information.
Right.
So it is definitely a peace of mind tool. And when you have landlines down and you, you know, and there's just no other way to communicate, a text is, I mean, it, you can get a text out when you can't get a phone call out. When you have very little power, when you're in a bad area, a text is something that is almost always sent out unless you're completely out of power.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the intro, I used the word tweet, and mm-hmm. I'm just thinking when I was sitting here, I was like, boy, there's probably some people that thought it was the Tweety Bird cartoon that we used to watch when we were younger, because they probably have no clue what tweeting is, a lot of parents. What? Tell us about Twitter.
I like the Tweety Bird a lot more than I like Twitter.
Yes,
actually.
I you know, I'm sorry. He's going to come that old thing again. I don't get Twitter. Okay, I just don't understand that.
Well, Twitter is very much. It's very much not a community like Facebook is. Facebook is more of a community, and Twitter is more of a broadcast information.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to get a message out about something, maybe you're advertising something or you're getting something out in a professional way, that's what, in my opinion, my professional opinion, Twitter should be for. It should not be for you to be tweeting out that you had a ho-ho for dessert.
Right.
Not that I would ever have a ho-ho, but, you know, I just should not be for any personal, for any personal nonsense information that no one cares about. It should really be for maybe links or videos or just you're trying to get a message out for maybe for like let's say your program, you want to get more listeners, so you're going to send it out by Twitter. You know, there's a larger audience available that you can access if you've got a lot of followers and you can connect with people who are in like businesses you are and so on and so forth.
You see, I mean, you know, that comes to a big problem with a lot of the social media, like Facebook, Twitter, that we're talking about here, MySpace, we've talked about too, where people are putting up information. You know, you're talking about a ho-ho, which is fine, but, you know, I mean, that that's kind of humorous because I laugh sometimes, like, you know, when I see something like that on Facebook or something, it's like, who cares? You know, really? I mean, that's just my feeling on it. But a lot of times I start seeing either kids or even adults or even worse at this, you know, going out tonight, going to, you know, whatever, going to the movies or leaving tonight on vacation and stuff. I mean, kids are really giving away too much information about themselves.
Well, especially when they're announcing their family's going to Mexico for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when your house gets robbed because there are people that are in your network and that might not even be a friend that you've added as a friend, and you have no idea who they really are, yet, you know, you're broadcasting that you're going on vacation, or you're going to be gone for 3 days, or you're going to be gone for the night because you're going to a concert, you know, whatever the case is, it's absolutely has, you really have to think before you post.
Mm-hmm. And it's even dangerous for a girl if she's saying that she's going so-and-so for a party or something. I mean, if there is somebody that's out there that's stalking the person or, you know, has some kind of strange fetish or something after them, I mean, they know exactly where they're going to be.
I mean, you're going to get me started on Facebook places. That's where...
Well, that's where I was heading, okay?
Aren't you, Steve?
Yes, I was. I was actually heading there.
You were leading me down that path.
Yes, I was.
Don't get me started on Facebook places. It's a... Let me tell you, parents, every single one of us has, if we have a Facebook on our mobile application, on our mobile phone, we have a Facebook place icon. That allows our kids, ourselves, anyone to check in, meaning you're telling everyone in your network and then everyone in their network, your network's network, where you're standing at that exact given time because they're using a GPS identifier on your phone. And so what's happening is kids are they're disappearing. They are, you know, they are, there's other kids that are showing up to beat them up. It's bad. Facebook places there's no business for our kids to be checking in on Facebook places.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and that's the thing, you know, as parents, I mean, we look at, you know, when you said, you know, you have to make that decision of whether or not to allow your child to have a Facebook account and stuff, but we don't even realize, okay, you know, when they say, you know, can we put the Facebook app on our cell phone? You know, that's the last thing we're thinking about.
No, well, and it doesn't matter. You get that on your, it's there. Like, if you look at your cell phone right now, I pretty much guarantee you have a Facebook Places app on your phone and you don't even know it. If you
probably
had Facebook. Yeah, if you had Facebook. And the rules of engagement contract we spoke about earlier covers that. So, yeah, you might not have thought about it, but I do cover it in the rules of engagement. So at least, you're right. Who would think about even having that be a concern? And that's why I put that together, so that it's really kind of these, it's really 20 red flags of things that you really need to cover with your kids before you turn them loose.
Right.
What is the one-click safety kit?
So the one-click safety kit is like a complete package for parents that helps keep their kids safe and secure online, set the boundaries, set the consequences, and it was drafted after employment agreements. So you have an employment agreement, and then you have like a 90-day warning notice, and then you have a termination notice, and then you have consequences notice, and then you have basically you get written up for something, and it's basically very contract driven, but it's very simple to understand. Kids get it, and it allows you to have a process in place of how you're going to talk to your kids about using social media and networking and cell phones, and then it allows you to parent around it so that when they do mess up, which let me tell you they will, the consequences are already set out for you. So you're allowed. So it basically it says, okay, so what happened? What did you do? What did you do to change this behavior? And what are the consequences? Do I lose my technology? Do I, or am I going to be? Are my parents going to be watching over? Am I going to be having my cell phone reviewed every day for the next 5 days? Or what are those consequences? So it's just a simple process for parents to follow and implement, because it's really hard to do it when something happens. Like, let's say your kid ends up posting a inappropriate sexual picture on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to know how to parent around that after it happens, where you're following the right steps and you're doing the right things so that doesn't happen again, versus having it all set up ahead of time and then following through if something does happen.
Now, do you include in that about texting and driving?
Yeah, well, what I have is that's on the rules of engagement piece. But what I have for that is, resources on my website. I have a take the no phone zone pledge thing. And it's just really for the kids to sign off saying they won't text and drive. But in that rules of engagement, absolutely, it is there will be no texting and driving. So, I mean,
I don't get how they can do it.
They can text without looking. They can text with their cell phones in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to see things. They are amazing. Kids are amazing how fast they can text and how they don't have to see what they're doing.
Well, that's why I was jesting in the intro about with the thumbs. They type faster with their thumbs and fingers, the little things than we did with 10 fingers on a keyboard.
They sure do, and I have to tell you that I see a lot of adults doing the same thing, and maybe they're emailing or whatever they're doing on their, their iPhone or their Droid. I mean, let's face it, you can do everything on that phone, and so I look over all the time to see what people are doing, and honestly, I was a bad culprit too, and I took the pledge, and then what I do is so that I don't look at my text messages or open my email while I'm driving, I just put my phone in my handbag, and I put it behind my passenger seat so that I can't even reach it.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked lightly about YouTube, and I mean, you know, there's even another media that's out there that we're probably not thinking about as parents, which is Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, even for us, I mean, trust me, even for this show, I looked into Skype. And, I just said, okay, that's too complicated.
Yeah, I've done a couple of Skype interviews, and so basically I have to have Skype for interviews. And let me tell you, every profile on Skype is public, mm-hmm. and I have strangers sending me messages all the time on Skype, hoping that I'm going to answer the phone. And it's their creepy names, and you don't want your kid to have a Skype account unless it's for a specific reason. For instance, you have a child that's studying abroad, maybe right. Out of country or somewhere, and you want to communicate with them. You want to see them, and sure. So the Skype account out. You just need to make sure that you don't put anything public, anything personal in your public profile. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure you help your kid set that up, and you need to make sure you talk to them about, hey, you're going to get these strange queries that strange people you don't know are going to call you. Do not answer. So it's just those things you have to have those conversations with for preventative versus, having them get into all kinds of trouble after the fact.
Because, we see today, one of the great things is people would Skype for our military that's overseas.
Right.
It's a great technology, but like any other technology, it gets taken advantage mm-hmm. of.
Right. It's amazing technology. You see Oprah use it all the time. Fox Business, everyone uses Skype. Mm-hmm. It's a great tool. Love it. It's just that you have to be aware.
Right.
Can you tell us about your great website?
Sure, I'd love to. I always like to refer everyone to www.digitalworld101.com. It's a little easier to remember, and it'll just take you to my site. My favorite part is probably the resource section, because I have about 6 or 7 great downloadable PDFs that are free, and it's my firm belief that every parent needs to see these and use these and implement them. And for instance, one of them is the 10 Facebook rules to live by. And that one just walks parents through. These are all the 10 Facebook rules your kids need to live by, or you need to live by as a parent, and just make sure you follow these, because if you don't, you're going to be sorry. So it's just, there's just some nice things up there that parents can use, what textual harassment is, what are the signs. I've got a cyberbullying report up there. Like I mentioned earlier, there's also a resource page for all the cyberbullying laws by state. I have the don't text and drive pledge. And I have some sample apology letters for bullies. If you find out your kid's a bully, some great little sample letters that you can use so that your kid can send an apology letter out, and how that works. I have the consequences of sexting and what those could be if you're just not sure what sexting is or what the consequences could be. That's actually really bad consequences, because if you're if you're a minor, it's considered considered child pornography.
Pornography, right, exactly.
Yeah. So
there's something again that parents aren't thinking about.
No. Why would we want to think about any of this stuff? It's awful.
but you know what? But it's, again, it comes back to what you said earlier, not my kid.
Right. And, I have to say that it's not that I never thought not my kid, because I know that neither of my children are innocent. However, I never thought about it, I think, was my problem. Not mm-hmm. that it was just not my kid, just that I never even really thought that any of these things were possible, that it's capable, and that it can go to the degree that it goes to.
Right. And you see, what I like about these books, a lot of them walk you through what you should do when something happens. And I've said, on the show a number of times, when we become parents, we don't get an instruction manual.
No, we don't.
I mean, unfortunately, and heck, that instruction manual would change so often anyway. But, right here, when you have any child that's really 9 years old or older mm-hmm. that's living in your home, you need to know this information. I mean, I was looking through the one book there, Read Between the Lines, and just looking at some of the abbreviations that were in there. Okay? And I mean, I jest around about being old and stuff, and, I don't know a lot. Yeah, I do know some of it. But when I was looking down through some of that stuff, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Right, I know. Well, I think I include a couple thousand abbreviations in the back. Mm-hmm. However, I do give you the top 50, which are the ones you really need to be familiar with. And I kid around with, on the air, I kid around with, I'm sure every parent needs to know what WTF is.
Right, yeah.
And as a father on American Family would say, that means why the face.
Yeah, right. Sure, it does, okay. But, it's one of those things, but understand, and this is why, I mean, these books are important, because even if you'd followed, you got the child's password, and you say, well, okay, well, I'm going to do the right thing, I'm going to monitor everything my child is doing,
yep.
and you start seeing stuff like, you know, WTF, you know, and all that,
yep.
you have no clue. I mean, it's a, trust me, folks, especially in texting, it's a whole nother language, because
yeah.
they don't want to type out, be right back. I'm going to use even the easiest one, okay? Be right back. They're going to
yeah.
put BRB.
Right, right.
Okay? And
you're right. You do need to know that.
yeah. I mean, you really need to know what these abbreviations are to even understand what's being said.
Yeah, and
that's
where
I
read Between the Lines, my first book, and that was my kind of light, cute,
mm-hmm.
humorous, pretty, fun book.
But you know what? It's fun, it's cute and stuff, but it's still stuff
it's informative.
We need to know.
Yeah,
because,
it's very informative, and
yeah.
it can be deceiving. It's interesting because I have a lot of men that come up at signings and you know, buy a book, and I always ask, okay, who am I writing, you know, who am I signing this to? And they, Mark, Jeff, Joe, I'm like, really? Okay. You know, it's cute because they're just a guy that, you know, they're just hip, you know. They're not letting the colorful colors cover scare them, and
mm-hmm.
They want to know. They want to be in the know with, because I cover everything from texting technology in the classrooms to emergency situations to getting a boarding pass to, you know, in the classroom to your teens to parents to grandparents. Why, you know, every grandparent needs to know how to text.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, too, I mean, grandparents, you know, I talk a lot about grandparents on the show. I don't know, unfortunately, the ages of the people that listen to us. You know, that's the great thing, I guess, about the internet. But, you know, I do get emails and stuff sometimes from people that are older moms, you know, grandmothers and stuff. And they want to know this information as well, because
yeah.
when your grandchildren are over your house, you need to know what your grandchildren are doing.
Right. Well, that was actually the reason behind writing my first book was my mother was emailing my teens, you know, for 6 months, and she was madder than hell that she was that she was not getting a response from her grandkids. And I was shocked that she was wasting her time sending emails, because they don't email. The only thing they're going to do is text. So, you know, reluctantly, I taught her. It took about a minute to teach her. She got her first instant response in about 10 seconds. She was sold ever since.
Mm-hmm.
It was from my daughter. She texted my daughter, and my daughter wrote back and said, "Hi, who is this?" ? Her ego was a little bruised, however, because she got that response so quickly in like 10 seconds, and she had been waiting 6 months for one response from an email.
Right,
they
got an instant
text reply. She was happy.
Yeah.
And you see, and that's the thing. I mean, technology can be a great thing. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't want this show to come off completely, and listen to how I'm phrasing it, completely scaring people about social media, phones, and technology. They can be really a good place. The kids can communicate with their friends. They can have a really good time. You know, it's the same thing when we were growing up. You know, the kids that were on the telephone all the time talking to their friends. They don't do that anymore. This is a whole new world now. It's changed a little bit. But just with every great thing that comes along, there comes along people and
problems
with it. Right. And I was just going to say, people that take advantage of the technology.
Right,
and
right.
create a problem with the technology. And we need to be aware of that, because we're in that age now where, I mean, like you said, you know, 9-year-old or 8-9-year-old talking about, you know, sexting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, I'm sure that parent was like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, like
exactly.
I was the first time I read the word. It was like, huh? You know, what
well,
did I miss here?
Yeah. I mean, well, I kind of compare it to, for instance, like, let's say a knife. And, you know, we all need knives in our lives. We need to be able to cut things, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially in the kitchen. But the last thing you're going to do is you're going to hand your 8, 9, 10-year-old a knife for the first time, and you're going to say, you're just going to hand it to him and walk off. You're just not going to do that. You're going to show them, you know, to cut a tomato, let's say. You're going to show them how to do it. You're going to show them how, you know, to keep their fingers out of the way and how sharp the knife is, and you're going to go through this process of teaching them how to cut a knife. And then you're going to watch them as they learn how to use this knife throughout maybe the next couple of weeks to make sure they continue to follow the rules that you set.
Right.
Well, that's a lot like social networking. We can't just hand them the keys to the internet and expect that they're going to make the right decision perfectly and they're going to know what to do. Because a lot of times our kids aren't even making mistakes. They just didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of not being shown and not being discussed.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you not know? Being watched a little bit too. And you know
that's
what?
That's right.
I mean, you know, I laughed before when you said that, you know, getting the password and stuff from someone that's 16. Okay, because I just envisioned, you know, turning to, you know, our 16-year-old when she was 16, saying, "You got to give me your username and password."
Right. All of us that have 16 or older are laughing at that. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, any parent that's been in that situation is in there saying, "Yeah, right." On top of that, too, because you're not going to get it, or
right.
You're going to go through World War IV or whatever to get hold of it. But you know what? You have to really be persistent about it. You know, children are living in your home, and you're doing it. Just make sure, you know, when you're trying to get this information from your child, that you're doing it for the loving reasons. You're not doing it because you're snooping and you're being nosy. You're doing
right.
it because you love them, you care about them, and you want to protect them.
And you will not get it all up in their business. That
right.
is not for you. That is not for any parent to do, because I actually had a parent come to me who had gotten all up in her daughter's business. And her daughter was 14, and her daughter changed her password and her user code, and because her mother had commented on Facebook about something, a situation that was going on with some boys. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's like the death of you. So she just sealed her coffin. I mean, we just can't. We can, as much as we want to say something, we have to restrain ourselves.
Right.
We're
monitoring, not participating.
That's right, that's right. But, you know, on the great side of technology, we've had a couple of schools install a mobile messaging support system for students in some high schools, and we just had the chief of the Oakland Police Department install it into 6 of our high schools here in California in Oakland last week. And it allows kids to report, you know, any, you know, potential fight, any weapon, any drug, any bullying, any threat of any kind to the authorities anonymously. And I can tell you that there's a school in Pennsylvania that actually implemented this service last year, the same service. And they've had 187 situations reported, and they've been able to resolve them. And one of them was even almost a suicide attempt.
Wow.
So it's a fabulous technology when it's used right. And the interesting thing about the school that's had it in place for a year, they have not gotten one fake response or report of anything. Not one kid has abused it. So I think the kids, maybe they respect it because it's what
yeah.
they live by. You know, maybe there's a little bit more respect there, but, you know, for kids that wouldn't normally talk about or don't want to get caught telling on a serious thing that's occurring, these schools are going to start to implement this, and it's going to be great. And I can tell you, the chief of police here in California, he's the first in California to implement this in the high schools. It's really a service that's used in NFL stadiums. If you guys ever been to a game where it says, you know, like report unruly behavior,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
in the stadium, it's that technology, and they've taken it and they're using it in schools now. And to give you an idea of how I'm such a firm believer that every single school needs to have this, it cost him $2,000 a year to have it in all 6 high schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
It's almost free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that's really, really nothing. And it's a great technology. And again, you know, like you say, the kids want to help. I
yeah.
mean, they want, you know, they don't want to see all the stuff taking place in their school. You know, you
no.
see those kids after a tragedy like a cyberbullying and stuff. You see all these kids crying because they want to do something about it. They just
oh,
don't
yeah.
know how to go about doing it without causing more pressure on themselves, too. So.
Well, and I think that's how, you know, when you say that, when you explain that, what that feels like, that's how I really felt as a parent, too. You don't really know where to go or what to do, you know, when this was happening to my daughter. And so you feel really trapped and you know, you don't want to make it worse. You don't want to be called out on the carpet even more so. And, you know, or if you're sitting on the bystanding and you're watching someone get abused, you don't want to get in the middle of it. You don't want to get pulled in. And I know that's happening to, you know, to kids every day.
Right. Well, we've been talking today to Sean Marie Edgington. The name of the book are Read Between the Lines and The Parent's Guide to Texting, Facebook, and Social Media. Again, go to digitalworld101.com and you can learn all you can about this. I mean, it's a great subject. These are two great books. I highly recommend that you, if you're a parent, you need these books. I mean, it's just as simple as that. If you have a library of how to raise your kids, these are two books that really need to be in that library.
Sean, yeah, the great thing is, yeah, Read Between the Lines is at Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble. Anywhere
right.
They buy books, they can get that book. The Parent's Guide will be out next month.
Okay, and it's no problem. Sean, I want to thank you for joining us today on Your Life Matters, and I truly wish you continued success.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been great.
No problem. Bye-bye now.